Today on Jesse Duplantis Ministries.
A sure cure for gossip and slander is to breathe through your nose and keep your mouth shut. You got your Bibles or your iPads or your telephones, whatever you use for scripture. Would you go with me to the book of 1 Peter chapter 3? The book of 1 Peter chapter 3. And God is so good and gracious, and it's just such a blessing of the Lord. On November the 9th, 1948, a day that would live in infamy, my mom and daddy got together for some reason or another. I don't know if it was at night. I don't know if it was in the morning. Sometimes it's at lunch. I don't know. And created me. And God said he knew me from the womb. Then on July the 9th, 1949, I physically came into this world at 11:53 a.m., screaming and hollering with no face. Well, she thought I had no face. She didn't think I had any eyes or any nose because I was a veil baby, which means I had a complete veil over my face, completely all the way down here. And it's, you have them, but it's far and few between. And if you see this long, people think that's a wrinkle. That's actually a scar. That's where they cut that veil and they pull it up. And then mom saw my eyes and saw my nose, you know. Of course, they have all these things that they say about veil babies and things of that nature. I don't know. You know, they're going to do this and they're going to do that and all that kind of stuff. All I knew, I was here. And I started my life in terms of being birthed. Yet, I was birthed way back when. And so actually I was 9 months old when I was born. And you see what I'm saying? See, the Asian people, they start you off when you're born, they consider you 1 year old. Now we don't, we consider 9 months, you know, 1 month, 2 months, six, you know, stuff like that. And I guess they're right if you really think about it, you know. And God is so good and gracious. And the reason I'm telling you that, I was thinking about that the other day and in my study at home. And the Spirit of the Lord began to deal with me about life. He said, "Oh, you're enjoying your life." I said, "Oh, God." I said, "The best time of my life was when I hit 70. My 70s have been the best time of my life." And I'll tell you why it's been that is because I was always a very ambitious young man. I knew what to do. I knew what I was going to do at 6 years old. I already had developed in my mind what I was going to do. And I was getting out this poverty hole and this poverty thing. And that's all I saw in my life. And I never wanted to argue and fight and all that kind of crazy. And I come from all that kind of a family, screaming, shouting, hollering, all that kind of stuff. And I just couldn't wait to get away from that. And anyway, to make a long story short, I began to think about my life. And man, I've been working full time. Let me give you a little update. I've been working full time since I'm 11 years old. I got my first job, other than cutting grass and things of that nature. I did that before at 8 and 9, 10 years old, trying to make a couple of bucks. But at 11 years old, you can't do that now because of child labor laws, because you got to be at least 16, I think, to get a job. But my dad found me a job at 11 years old at the IGA food line, and he was working for Getty Oil Company in Venice, Louisiana. And he got me a job, and the first time and the only time he ever picked me up at school. And I thought maybe something was wrong with mama. I saw him out there, and I couldn't believe, what is going on? And he did this, and I came, and he said, "Boy, I got you a job." I said, "You did?" And he said, "Yes, I did." He said, "Tomorrow the school bus is going to drop you off at the IGA food line, the grocery store. You're going to work." And we got out of school at 2:35. And it was only 5 minutes away from the school, the grocery store. And he says, "And you're going to work from 3 p.m. to 11:30 at night, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday. On Saturday, you're going to work from 7 a.m. to 7 p.m. That's a 12-hour shift. That's 52 hours a week at 11. Then he looked at me and gave me this great revelation. He said, "I will no longer buy you clothes, shoes, socks, nothing. Now you buy your own and you're going to pay rent to stay here." I said, "But I'm at my house." He said, "It ain't your house, it's my house." Zach words. I don't know anybody ever been birthed like that, but kind of father and mother. But you talk about work, son. He didn't believe in work. And my father and mother never bought me nothing else since I'm 11 years old. I got my job was $30 a week, and I cleared $22.29 a week. And I had to give my mom and dad $10 a week to stay at the house. That's true, you know. And I thought, good God. But so I had $12. But you got to understand, $12 was really big in 1960. A pair of tennis shoes you could get at the Spiegel catalog for a dollar and a half. U.S. Kids tennis shoes was $4, too expensive. Levi's are $3 a pair. Can anybody remember? Can you remember any of that kind of stuff? I do. I mean, I never forget. A gallon of milk was like 25 cents. Way back when, you know. So I began to develop my life and you know, to see what I want to do. And I want to talk about that. The title of this message is The Value of This Life. How valuable you are in this life. Peter's talking to people here in chapter 3 of 1 Peter. And he says in verse, verse 10. For he that will love life and see good days, let him refrain his tongue from evil and his lips that they speak no guile. Let him eschew evil and do good. Let him seek peace and ensure it. Now notice in verse 10 and verse 11, there's four different things that tells you how to have a valuable life. And if you do those things, it'll work. I'm gonna read it again. For he that will love life and see good days, let him refrain his tongue from evil and his lips that they speak no guile. Verse 11, so many things that's in that little verse. Then verse 11, let him eschew evil and do good. Let him seek peace and eschew it. I want to talk about that day, the value of life. People don't realize how valuable the human race really is. If they really understood it, they'd have no wars. None. Why would you want to kill a person that you're related to? We're all related. So some of you white people got black in you. Well, I lost a few of you there. And some of you black people, y'all got some white in you. And we got some Indian in us. We have Hispanic in us. We have Asian in us. We're made out of dirt, and there's only five colors of dirt. Red dirt, brown dirt, yellow dirt, black dirt, white dirt. So what are we? Dirt. Why would we get mad at each other because all yours are a sack of mud that God breathed into? I guess he wanted to play with some mud cakes and he made Adam. Think about that for a minute. How valuable. And yet, Adam and Eve did not realize how valuable their life was. That they could walk in the cool of the day with this great God. He would come down and he would fellowship with them. Gave them wonderful things, great power. Adam named over 600,000 species of animals. Brilliant man. Gave him the most beautiful woman any woman could ever be. He left God for her. Now you think about that. He left the Garden of Eden for her. She must have been some sweet lady. That's all I can say. I can think of a few other things, but I ain't gonna say it. They were clothed with the Spirit of God. Good Lord. Hard to recognize them from God until sin came into existence. And from that day forward, we have fought to have a good life. It hadn't been easy. I mean, you've had trouble in life. Hold your hand up. Sorrow? Yeah. Sure. I mean, and at that day and time when they were there, it was not. So what causes all that is not the individual, it's the sin that they commit. You see what I'm saying? So write this down if you're taking notes. Our life here is a preparation for the life here or for the life hereafter. What we do here will determine what we'll be and what we'll do when we get there. That's why I stay busy doing the work of the Lord. When people ask me about anything, I say, well, I'm about the Father's business. Yes, yes. You see, because it is a business to operate and function. So I realize that there is a record being taken for me and not by me, but a report that will be read to me when I stand before the judgment seat of Christ. For by it, the elders obtained a good report. Somebody is writing something about you even as we speak. You see what I'm saying? And that will come in that wonderful day. Now, don't be afraid of that, because the word the judgment seat means the bema, or the platform. That's where we will receive rewards for what we've done here. It's going to be a wonderful time in the presence of God. So our life here is a preparation for the life hereafter. So write this down here. I just wrote this just the other day. Refrain thy tongue from evil, and thy lips that they speak no guile. That's number one. If you want to show how valuable, keep your mouth. Your mouth, your tongue is what gets you into a lot of trouble. You know, I've seen where Kathy was irritated with me, but if she didn't say nothing, we had a good day. Well, it's the truth. And vice versa. There's times I was irritated with her, and if I wouldn't have said nothing, we'd have had a beautiful day in the neighborhood. And so how many of you have said things you didn't mean? Hold your hand up. Don't lie. Oh, yeah. Why'd you do that? You could have stopped that. God calls the tongue a little member, but very hard to control. You see, and when you understand that, you see, the first thing he says, if you want to show how valuable, control your mouth. Control what you say to people. Especially if you're irritated with them. Because sometimes you'll look at something and add something to it without even thinking. You see what I'm saying? So when the Lord spoke that to Peter, he was telling all of us way back when to hold our tongue from evil. Write this down. Most of our sin comes from an unbridled tongue. Most of our sin comes from an unbridled tongue. I mean, I've seen people, you kill people because their tongue said it first, commit adultery because their tongue said it first, commit fornication because their tongue said it first. In other words, it comes from an unbridled tongue. I've seen all kinds of malice and hatred, but it all started with the tongue before anything physical, maybe hitting or whatever, shooting or whatever, would come to pass. You see what I'm saying? And you know, a lot of time when people walk into church, they get hit with something they shouldn't get hit with. That's somebody's tongue. Don't shout me down. You know, if they don't think you dress right, they jump on your case. But maybe that's all you got. You see what I'm saying? And you'd be surprised. Or have you ever had somebody sit in your pew? That hit right there. I could see that. Yeah, I could. Yeah. That's where you like to sit because your butt print is on that pew. All of a sudden, if a visitor comes in, you go, and you don't do it yourself. You get the usher to do it for you. You know, excuse me, would you mind, you know, and when really it ought to be the most welcoming place in the world is at your church. You see, now what causes problem in the church? Homiletical, hermeneutical, philosophical, theological differences. People never tell people that they're Christian. They tell them they're Catholic or they're Baptist or they're Methodist or they're Episcopalian or they're Presbyterian. Or the Church of God, or the Church of Christ, or Word of Faith, or Full Gospel, or United Pentecostal, or First Pentecostal. How many different divisions we have in the body of Christ when everybody is saved by the same Christ? Amen. You see, so they think you less valuable because they think their doctrine that they believe is more honorable than you are, but not God. See, because he's no respecter person. So most of our sin comes from an unbridled tongue. That's number one. And I really love this. How many of y'all want to keep your tongue from saying things you don't want to say? Write this down. A sure cure for gossip and slander is to breathe through your nose and keep your mouth shut. Because when you're talking, you breathe through your mouth a lot of times. A sure cure for gossip and slander is to breathe through your nose and keep your mouth shut. The other day, I didn't want to keep my mouth shut, but I breathed through my nose and they kept my mouth shut. See what I'm saying? Yeah. I mean, let me say it. Sometimes people say very aggravating things, and I understand that, you know, especially if you're paying for something. And they say, you know, I kind of, and all of a sudden they just say something that's kind of, You pay, I don't know, $50,000 for a car, $45,000, and they treat you like trash when you go to get it serviced. Have you ever been there? Oh, that's irritating, isn't it? Have you ever been to a restaurant and a waiter and a waitress walk up and goes, what? Anybody ever seen them kind of waitresses and waiters? Oh, yeah. Have you ever been in a restaurant and told to leave? I have. Hold your hand up. Be honest. Yep. I was at a Jewish delicatessen in New York one time. I didn't know nothing. And I saw, man, that looked like that'd make a good sandwich. I walked in there, Lord did. I'm in New York, not Manhattan. And they wouldn't serve me. I must have stood there for a good 5 minutes. That's a long time to stand there waiting. You know, finally I said, excuse me. And this guy looked at me like, and the place was pretty full. I said, I'd like to get something. He said, I'm Jewish. I said, okay. That ain't got anything to do with that salami right there, you know? I'm thinking that I just wanted to make a sandwich. Get a sandwich, you know? Delicatessen sandwich. Why don't you go somewhere else? I said, what did you say? You a Gentile dog. I said, and a very mean one, sucker. Oh, I got hot. I had experienced prejudice for the first time. They didn't serve me. Now think of 400 years of that, because your skin happened to be black. 400 years. Every day. Somebody looking down on you, and you hadn't done them nothing. You didn't even ask to be born. Ooh, it gets quiet. See, so why wouldn't you value that person's life? That's what Peter's saying here. That was, breathe through your nose and keep your mouth shut. You see what I'm saying? And when you understand it, that's just so many different little things. And one time I made a mistake. I was in Hawaii, and I can't tell the difference between Japanese and Chinese. Chinese are a little bit bigger people. Japanese are smaller. Or Korean. So there was a Korean girl waiting on Kathy, you know, and so I come walking in. I said, Kathy was trying to get something, a little dress or something like that. And I said, excuse me, are you Japanese? No, no. I said, oh, okay, I'm Korean. I said something stupid. Well, y'all all look alike to me. I mean, you know, I said, well, they do. But I didn't mean it in a bad way. Oh, Lord. She had a fit. I said, ma'am, I didn't mean to be rude. I said, you know, I'm an American. She said, so am I. I said, okay. So I thought, how do I fix this? So when Kathy was buying the dress, as I walked out, I gave her $100. All of a sudden, she goes, who take you? I take you very much. All of a sudden, things changed. And I said, is that okay? Oh, you didn't need to do that. And I wanted to say you didn't need to shout at me neither, but I didn't. But I thought, you know, I'm going to use some of this money for good. Because, you know, everybody got to make a living. We was at the Cheesecake Factory yesterday. This lady came up there and I gave her a tip. She goes, oh. I said, got to make a living, don't you? How'd you know? I said, because I've been making a living all my life. Yeah, have a nice day today. See, there are good things you can do with money, because it's more blessed to what?
Give.
To what?
Give.
To what?
Give.
Remember that at the offering time. I got you right there. Did I get you? Don't get mad. Breathe through your nose. I'm doing that on purpose. Breathe through your nose. See, then to receive. So the first thing you do is you don't mess with this tongue stuff in any way, shape, or form. You refrain your tongue from evil. Number two, write this down. Shy away from evil. Why? Because life is a talent committed to us. I don't have time to be evil. I don't have time to do evil things. I don't have time to say evil things. Why? Because I'm committed to life. See, and life destroys death. It does, because life will raise you from the dead. The dead can't raise you from life. Life is so much stronger and bigger and better. You see what I'm saying? So shy away from it. Shun the very appearance of evil. See, life is a talent committed to us. Write this down. There is much in us that is attracted by evil. Evil looks very attractive, but the wages of sin is what? Death. Now, it has pleasure in it, but not for very long. You understand what I'm saying? Because most time when you have pleasure in evil, you are abusing yourself or abusing someone else. You see, in any way, shape, or form. That's what Peter's saying in those two little verses. So if you want to understand what is the value of your life, you don't do those things. I've had many opportunities to sin, and I don't do that. I don't sin every day. I've heard it all my life until you sin every day. I don't. You don't neither. What some people call sin is not sin. It's just their big fat mouth speaking something. They want you to live by their conviction. But you may not be convicted in that. Are you enjoying your life the way God wants you to? My partner offer, The Value of This Life, shows you how wonderful life can be when you understand how valuable it really is. Through Scripture, I show you the keys to living the abundant life Jesus bought for you that will prepare you for the life hereafter. This is a wonderful thing. Order your copy today at jdm.org. Do it. Are you ready to walk in God's vision for your life and receive above all that you ask or think? In my new book, Create Your World and Walk in It, you'll learn how to have God's creative DNA flowing inside of you, and your connection to His power gives you the ability to create too. By using your faith voice and saying only what faith says, discover the power within you, and every promise on your heart comes to pass in your life. Create your world and walk in it. Get your copy today at jdm.org. Ladies and gentlemen, I want to live a good life, and I know you do too. Remember, from today's message, life here is a preparation for the life hereafter. It must be a consecrated life. And how do you do that? By being holy. Jesus said, be ye holy, for I am holy. It's not hard to be holy. It isn't. It's when you know who Jesus Christ is inside of you, around you, and about you. It is such a blessing of the Lord. And I mean that sincerely. I tell you, I'm so excited about my new book entitled Create Your World and Walk in It. I show you how to build an inner world of unwavering faith that will enable you to walk in God's vision for your life. You know, my daughter used to say, Dad, it seems like everything you do prospers. How do you do that? I create my world and I walk in and I decide to write a book on it. Because if you know what's coming in and you know what's going out, you're never surprised. This will bless you. How do you get it? Go to jdm.org and order it today. It will bless you and minister life to you. Have you heard that I've been doing a heaven tour? I've been giving my testimony about my trip to heaven in 1988. All the services, and this is very important, are in person only. And my next one is on Friday, September the 18th at Eagle Mountain International Church in Newark, Texas. And I mean, that's it. We don't streamline it. We don't do nothing. And I open it up to question and answer, and people just love it. You can get more details on our meeting page at jdm.org. Partners, thank you for your faithful financial blessing. You do this ministry. 50 years we're celebrating in ministry, and we've never had a financial deficit. It's one of the most amazing things. You know why? We trust God. We believe God. We sow seed. We expect harvest. I expect a 100-fold return for you on every seed you sow into this ministry. The anointing of increase is on me. You've seen it for 50 years. Think about that. I've been debt-free since 1982. Why? Well, why not? God said in Romans 13:8, owe no man anything but the love. And I said, okay, I think I'm going to believe that. And not only did I think it, I did it, and it will bless you. Thank you for being a partner. If you're not one, pray about becoming one today. And get ready to be blessed, because that anointing will be transferred into your life. Jesse Duplantis right here from New Orleans saying, I love you. We'll see you next week. God bless you. Bye-bye.
Have you ever wondered what heaven is like? Then join Jesse Duplantis at his 2026 Heaven Tour. Since Jesse's miraculous trip to heaven in 1988, countless lives have been forever changed by the powerful message that Jesus gave him to proclaim throughout the world. At these in-person-only services, Jesse will take you through his trip to heaven and share some of the many wonderful things that the Lord has in store for us, both in heaven and on earth. There will also be a special time of ministry, and then Jesse will answer some questions from the audience. It's time to discover the truth of eternity and embrace the everlasting love that Jesus has for you. Jesse Duplantis' Heaven Tour, Friday, September 18th at 7 p.m. in Newark, Texas at Eagle Mountain International Church. Visit jdm.org for more information.
One act of obedience to God can ripple through eternity.
I was born again about a year and a half before my husband Jesse, so I put him in the crosshairs.
My wife got me saved by her love.
And I said this, if there's such a thing as a God, you come into my life.
The greatest decision you'll ever make in your life is accepting Jesus as your personal Savior. You see, the Bible says if you lift up the name of Jesus, all men will be drawn unto it. You need to have a vision of faith. And I said, God, I can't do nothing. He said, you're right, you can't do nothing. But you can do all things through me. When you walk out on that platform, brother, it's going to be me and you speaking. And I said, yeah, Lord, I'll do it.
You see, heaven is wonderful.
He said, that's him.
It's Jesus. He said, go tell my people I'm coming. I said, Lord, I'll do everything I know to do.
The uttermost parts of the world are yours. Go.
We're gonna transform the world. We're gonna turn the world upside down. Are you ready to turn the world upside down?
We're on a mission, but it makes no difference. The country, the culture, or the climate. Get this gospel preached to the end of the world for a witness, and the Bible says the end shall come.
Jesus said, I only say what my Father says, and I only do what my Father says to do.
Sunday, September 27th, Jesse Duplantis will share a powerful word at Covenant Church.
Use your faith voice. Only say what faith says.
I begin with God, I end with God.
God said, I believe.
It's amazing what God will do for you if you just let him.
Jesse Duplantis at Covenant Church, Sunday, September 27th at 10 a.m.
So if you want to be noticed in life, you're going to have to war a good warfare. How do you do that? By holding faith. Because there's always somebody telling you you can't do something.
Thank you for watching today. For more information about Jesse Duplantis Ministries, go to jdm.org.